Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
My little brother's friends have been camped out at our place for 2 days straight.
Three.
It's because of the Xfinity 10G network. Internet that can handle a house full of screens at once, with like basically no interruptions. And it's only getting faster. When I was their age, internet like this was a pipe dream.
You sound like my grandpa.
Please go home.
Introducing the next generation 10G network, only from Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas.
And now, Hangar 56 Media presents Spike's Car Radio, a downloadable Cars and Coffee, hosted by writer, comedian, and automotive enthusiast, Spike Ferriston. Now, here's Spike.
Here we are. Matt Ferris. First place of business. West Side Collector Car Storage. I always get it wrong. I always want to go, when I try to put it in, I always do WSS, but it's WCCS.
Yeah, because West Side, that's technically one word.
Yeah.
In Los Angeles, West Side is one word.
I need a pen, too. Do you have a pen?
I can get you a pen. I can get you a pen by 3 o'clock today.
Go ahead. Go get me a pen.
Here, right here.
This is some you're listening to pre-show Spike's Car Radio. We're with Matt Farah. It's just he and I. We were just together Sunday at the new outpost of the Malibu Kitchen called the Farmer's Market.
Yeah.
And
actually, Bill seemed happy.
He seemed really touched that you and I both showed up. I woke up that morning. I thought, oh, this is a perfect thing. It's weird, but I'm not driving as much as I used to drive because Bill's been closed.
Yeah.
Right. So I thought, I'll get up and go. You and I had a plan that I had totally forgotten about to hang out. And you're like, I'm already there. And I'm like, shit.
It's okay. I went, my car needed some exercise. And so I was like, yeah.
What did you drive up there?
My Spider.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my Spider needed some. It had been a month. Fucking a month.
Did you have a front plate on that yet? No.
I don't need a front plate because I'm a car dealer.
I
need one plate.
Did you go by the police? They're all over that place.
And I smiled and waved.
You did?
Yeah.
Saying you didn't worry. And they knew not to pull you.
I don't need a front plate. I'm a dealer.
Right.
I need a dealer plate. And I was displaying my dealer plate.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
This is the move, Spike.
But then you were telling me there were some issues with insurance for the dealership.
Those are other issues.
But does that impact the plate?
Not today. It might in the future, but it doesn't impact it today.
We all dream of having this dealership here in California, but you were getting into the meat of
the
it.
The nuance of the insurance
and
is
the
different.
You know, insurance just finds a way to fuck you everywhere, from healthcare to cars to just everywhere.
In California, the number of times that I've heard that an insurance company doesn't want to cover my business,
right,
West Side Collector Car Storage, because of wildfires.
Right.
And I go, the nearest tree is 100 miles from here, you guys.
Yeah.
My building is concrete and masonry, and there isn't a tree anywhere near
no,
me.
No. There's nothing.
What do wildfires have to do with this?
Insurance seems to me like the biggest pyramid scam. On one side of it. And then when you talk to Zuckerman and you see the other side of how they operate, they're just thieves.
Well, their job is to is risk. They're in the risk business.
No.
But if it gets risky, they leave.
Yes. If we actually have to pay, we're out of here.
Yes,
because that was never the plan.
Yes.
Our plan was to get money from you.
Yes.
And then not ever pay you anything.
Yes.
And they do it all the time. I mean, I've seen it over and over again, but John, who works with me at Hangar 56, he had he got in an accident, somebody hit him, and he had a McLaren, right? So he was entitled to
a lot of money.
Yeah, he was entitled, while they fixed that McLaren, he was entitled to a car of equal value.
Is that how it works? Are you entitled to a car of equal value?
In your contract.
Oh, wow.
And they said, well, do you have something else to drive? And he said, yeah, sure. And then he told Zuckerman that story, and Zuckerman said, hold on here.
Yeah. They were supposed to pay up.
You know what your contract says. Why don't you look up what it costs to rent a McLaren per day? And sure enough,
yeah,
he was due that money and was paid that
$2,000
money.
$2,000 a day.
A little more.
Yeah,
and it took months to fix it. And, you know, that's insurance.
That's crazy.
And then, you know, my wife is very big in trying to get health care. Medical health care and medical debt and that stuff. And she tells me stories that are just shocking. You know, people who have cancer who can't get treated, the insurance companies say, nope, forget it.
And we have.
And, or people who have these processes and or go get treatment and then they're in, you know, go bankrupt.
Crazy debt. Yeah. They lose their house.
It's just
a horrible,
it's bad.
Horrible. Like my wife worked in tech for, you know, 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We got pretty spoiled with her tech company insurance. I mean, tech companies are fucked in a lot of other ways, but they give their employees amazing health care. We'll give them that. But when she got laid off from Twitter and we had to get on the West Side collector car storage plan, small business, relatively new, we got the best plan that was offered to a business of my size. Small business, 10 employees, the best plan, the platinum fucking plan. This insurance is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most garbage health insurance I've ever dealt with. Random denials of claims.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Can't work with the doctors that I normally use, even though I'm supposed to be able to.
They're just thieves.
Yeah.
And people don't know that.
Yeah.
And don't ever feel bad when you're getting money from insurance. Okay. Kick them in the nuts when you have the opportunity.
Yeah.
Kick them hard in the nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I always do.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. It's good to be here.
Speaking of Zuckerman, real quick, you know, I've been watching on the old Netflix.
What's that?
The Lincoln Lawyer.
Oh, my God. I know. I talked to him. Last week I said, dude, first of all, you didn't respond to my DM because they showed your house on the Lincoln Lawyer.
Yeah.
You are the Lincoln Lawyer, the real version.
Yeah.
I said this in last week's show. Is that what you were thinking when you were watching this?
Well, yeah, because I can't unthink it.
I can't
unthink,
right.
There's a lot of crucial shots that happen in Zuckerman's neighborhood.
Yes.
And
But not only that,
I thought about them blocking off his house, you know, for like 2 weeks. Not blocking.
They don't.
But they took the whole
We drive by it all the time. I had no idea what the shoot was. You know, when you go buy a shoe, you don't care what it is. I don't ask. But
well, I saw the 64 in the driveway and I went, oh, this is the Lincoln Lawyer, the 64 Continental.
Oh, you did?
In the show, or
in his social media?
No. When I went to his house
and
saw the production trucks then I saw.
Oh, you saw that car.
So I was like, oh, okay, this is where his house is. And I got to say, shots look great.
Yeah.
Their lighting design, great job.
Yes.
Making the neighborhood look good. Except they make it seem like the approach from the Zuckerman side is how you get to
the house. That's exactly what I told him.
Yep.
And I'll tell you why, because it's a better look down that street.
Yeah.
Coming uphill on the other side.
The sun comes the right way. Yeah,
you see, you have a nice look down, and then he turns in. Here's another weird bit of car minutiae. The Lincoln Lawyer's Lincoln is in my new movie.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You got it from some cinema vehicle company? Old Lincoln.
One of the things that I made sure of was, when you do one of these things, you have a gigantic thousands of people working for you. And, and they're all super talented, right? And usually let them do their job. But I said, where's the car wrangler?
Sure.
And Jerry and I had a meeting with him.
Yeah.
And I said, look, I know we can't get the bet, but I want to personally pick every single car. In fact, we might have gone through a couple of car wranglers until I got the one.
You were insane.
No. Because our reputation preceded us.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't our focus. Yeah. But I said, and I was going, this one, no.
The car community will not forgive us if this isn't perfect.
The production, you know, and it's still early to talk about this, but they were looking at us like, I was complaining about Quentin Tarantino's movie where, you know, Sharon Tate drives in the wrong year, 9/11. I said, that cannot happen in this movie.
Sure.
Our movie is not a car movie, so it doesn't even matter. But it was – so I would – Jerry's like, I trust you. So I picked every car, and I picked a blue Lincoln. And one day it showed up on set, and everybody goes, yeah, that's the Lincoln lawyer's car. And I go, what's the Lincoln lawyer?
Oh, yeah.
And then I started watching the Lincoln lawyer. It's all connected. But Zuckerman, to me, what I said, he won't watch it for the same reason sometimes I don't watch a lot of comedy, because I get anxious.
Sure.
Because it's what I'm doing, and sometimes I can't handle it, right? I said, hey, you watching season two, Lincoln Lore? Actually, two-part season two.
Yeah.
He said, I'll try it. And then he texted me. He goes, I'm getting too much anxiety.
He goes, I'm out.
I'm out. Man. But it really is his world.
Yeah.
It's really – it's a different – he's the defense attorney, Zuckerman's personal injury. But if you know Zuckerman, he loves to eat.
Yeah.
He loves to drive around in a fancy car. He's always involved in
– lives in a beautiful mid-century home. It's him.
It's him. He is the Lincoln Zuckerman.
I just finished it last night. And,
yeah, me too.
Yeah. I liked the ending, actually.
Yeah.
I did like the ending. That show's really poorly acted.
Yes.
The acting is horrible in it.
Well,
but I do love the vibe of the show despite the bad act.
Look, I want to recast a bunch of parts. Now, I like the guy who plays the Lincoln lawyer. What's his name?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know his name.
I think he's good.
We got to get rid of the wife. We got to get rid of the daughter.
Yeah.
We got to get rid of, let's see.
The guy who plays Cisco, I hate
Cisco. Yeah, he's got
to
go.
I like his character.
Something needs to happen to Cisco.
Did you see the movie, the Matthew McConaughey movie?
No.
Oh, so the show is based on the movie, which is based on books. You should watch the Matthew McConaughey Lincoln Lawyer movie, which is a great movie.
Yes.
It's like a fucking, like, not even, no bullshit.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Wow.
Really enjoyable. And Matthew McConaughey makes a fantastic Lincoln Lawyer.
He does.
Names of the characters are the same.
Which led him to the famous Lincoln commercials where he was driving.
No, yeah.
Right.
The movie
right.
first and then the commercials.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like we're doing a podcast. And he doesn't
have a 60,
theories right now.
Four. His Lincoln in the movies is like an 80s town car.
Yes.
Which is pretty awesome.
Turn it around. Turn it around. You hear those words run, ladies.
I really want the Lincoln lawyer's doors. The doors of his house are this beautiful glass.
I'm aware.
Yeah, you've seen them.
I've seen them when you drive by to Zuckerman's house. When I recorded last Friday after we were done, I stopped in front of the Lincoln lawyer's house and took a picture of him. It's a very blurry picture.
The doors are amazing.
They're not as good in person. The house in general is not as good in person as it is, you know, because a movie, TV makes everything look big. So imagine that still looks kind of small. The view is spectacular.
Yeah, yeah.
But all the houses in that neighborhood are beautiful and manicured and what a great time.
Especially with Hollywood backlighting through the glass.
The doors are insane.
I stopped and showed my wife. I go, if we win the fucking lottery, I'm having these exact doors made.
$1.5 billion, $1.6 billion tonight. It's big.
Did somebody win? Nobody won?
No, I think there's a drawing for $1.6 billion
tonight. We getting tickets or what? You getting tickets?
Yeah, I already
got. You got tickets?
Yeah.
I said to
Armando at the gas station, I'd like the winning ticket.
You'll never see me again.
What's that?
You'll never see me again. I'm out.
You would really disappear if you won $1.6 billion? Now, first of all, what? You're probably taking home only, what, $700,
$800? How will I live?
But what would you do?
Yacht out.
Really?
Yeah. Try to circle the globe endlessly.
That's it.
That's all.
You wouldn't get bored?
I'd find things to do with my remaining $500 million after I bought the yacht. Yeah, I'd find something to do.
You'd leave all this?
All this.
Really?
All of this.
The YouTube channel.
100% of it. I'd leave all of this. Yeah.
And you think you could actually, how old are you now?
41.
You think you could occupy another, what, you're only going to live for what, 15 more years?
I had 10, 15 years tops.
I could never do that. I mean, I think it's cool.
I'd find something to do, and I'd chopper back and forth to the yacht as necessary.
But doesn't that just become eating meals and diving, jumping off the boat?
I would find things to do.
Like what? Fish?
I would do the things in the car business that I enjoy doing without having to think about money, and that would be great.
So what would that be?
I would write for Road and Track, which is the thing
I enjoy.
So you'd
keep working.
Yeah, I would do something.
Yeah.
I would do something.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah. But from far away.
So you would write about cars from a boat.
Yes, I would fly back and forth.
I don't know that you can drive them on a boat.
You think? Hmm. Monaco Grand Prix. You see they put that F40 on the boat?
You'd just be one of those guys.
Nah, yeah, probably.
I think that would be a boring existence.
I think it'd be cool for a couple weeks. Things. I would do things, but I just don't know what yet.
Have you ever
can't imagine that big.
I can. I've thought about it.
Well, you can because you're billionaire adjacent. So you know what someone with that kind of money does with his life.
No. Oh, Jerry. Yeah. Well,
that's what he does.
I've met people like you and Jerry and Larry David and a lot of people who've made lots of. They don't ever. They can't stop working.
But Jerry does what stimulates him intellectually and without. Necessarily what will make him any money.
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit anymore, which is great. That's the kind of freedom I'm talking about. I wouldn't disappear.
I think the money
entirely.
For people like Jerry and Larry David is secondary to the making of things that they've always loved. It's good to have it, but I think they don't really think about it that much.
I mean, yeah, that's awesome.
I think you're that type of person.
I think
you would go nuts.
I think you're probably right, and I would like to continue making things, and it would be very nice to continue making things, but without having to think about money.
All right, here's what I would do.
What would you do?
I would do nothing for a little while. Mm-hmm. I would do absolutely nothing. And I have to figure out how not to screw my kids up because mm-hmm. I probably would be ruining their life mm-hmm. with money. Mm-hmm. All right? I would not change where I live. I would not, I would definitely not get a boat or plane. I might fly private here and there if I ever went anywhere where I don't really go. Here's the only thing I might do. Mm. You might find a Ferrari 250 short wheelbase in my hangar at Santa Monica.
Yeah.
And that would be it. Yeah. And then you might find some sort of really choice, rare Rolex on my wrist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Okay.
I'd have to put my wife in business. I'd have to set her up with a foundation for her health care for all with a budget and a crew. And so she could get free health care for the folks of California.
Your life could then be charity, tax deductible.
Hers.
Right.
Just give her some power. Give her some money to screw around politicians with. And that was it. That'd be it, I think.
That sounds good.
I'm pretty happy right now. And then I would continue doing this. I love doing this podcast. It's fun. I would do it for fun. I wouldn't really worry about advertisers. You'd hear the ads getting real crazy, real fast. And then I would continue to write when a project came up, not just to keep the bills paid, which is a very big difference, right? It'd be nice not to have that pressure to deliver every year and to earn your health care and the rest of it. I would then just really be careful about what I wrote and what I did.
Unfrosted
comes, absolutely, I'd be doing that because it was just a wagon load of fun.
Sure, that sounds fun. Yeah. I would review cars I want to review at a cadence that I want to do it without having to worry about feeding some algorithm to where I'm at right now.
Here's one thing I would do, all right? I've got to do an ad in a second, but there was a guy in an LA here in California. Did you see there was this interchange down downtown?
Oh, yeah.
It was complicated and people kept taking the wrong turn.
He added a sign.
So he made a sign himself and he put it up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was there for how long? A decade?
10 years.
10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And he made everybody's life easier. And he researched the sign. He made the right colors. It was an art project and it made everybody's life easier. I would be doing that with slow traffic, stay to the right. Everywhere on San Vicente, everywhere on Sunset Boulevard, west of the 405 and the Pacific
Just
Coast Highway.
Just the whole state.
I would be putting up – the state does pretty well outside of L.A., I've noticed.
Not in the L.A. to San Diego 5 corridor. I just drove back on Saturday night from San Diego mm-hmm. from my brother-in-law's memorial. The right lane mm-hmm. is the fast lane for about 30 miles
Correct.
Of that highway.
Yes.
And the other four lanes – it's five fucking lanes. The other four lanes mm-hmm. all go exactly the same speed. There's walls of traffic.
Yes.
And then the right lane – because nobody wants to be in the right, is the fast.
Well, you know, people, you see it happen on the 405. Everybody comes on and they go, oh, I'm going to find my lane. Like, I'm going to find my seat in the waiting room of the airport. Everybody spread out. And that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
That, we need to re-educate everybody. Now, Jack, my kid, is getting his driver's permit. And I'm like, what does that mean? He goes, I got to do 30 hours of lessons, an hour, you know, and he has to sit and watch these classes. And he's, and I'm like, tell me every, you know, once a day, just tell me the two things you're learning.
Is it online?
It's online just to get your permit.
Yeah.
Not even get to your license. And it's fascinating. Like, I go, is there a way to cheat at this, do you think? He goes, yeah, people could, and you can look up the answers and stuff. He's a good kid. He's doing all of it. But I don't think half the people who drive here really are educated about driving in any way.
I believe that.
And this is...
They took whatever version of this test was 40 years ago or in a different state.
And they're dumbfounded. You know, people passing on the right. Why are they doing that? Why are they on my tail? I'm on the left. They have no clue. Yeah. No clue. So that's with my $1.5 billion.
Sure.
I'm going to fix that problem one way
super
or another.
Pack. A keep to the right super pack.
I wanted to ask Zuckerman, and I forgot last week, like, what happens if I put those signs up anyways? What if I GoFundMe, and what if I raise the money and I put them up? If someone gets
an accident. Start by adopting the highway. You adopt the mile, and then while you're sweeping, you're just like over here.
But if I did it, because you know me, once I start getting obsessed with a thing, I then have to kind of try to fix it.
Yeah.
And if I did pay for like 25 signs to improve the roads from my house to Bill's farmer's market spot, is there any sort of liability? Am I sort of exposed legally in any way should something happen as a result of said sign?
I kept to the right like the sign said, and I got rear-ended 100 miles an hour, and I would guess Ferris did fall.
Zuckerman would say, yeah.
Were you involved?
I'll see you in the courtroom,
Were you
Spike.
Involved in the episode of Seinfeld where he adopts the highway and repaints the
yes,
lines?
Yes, I was there that night.
Fucking great.
You want to hear a terrible story about that one? We were shooting, and we were shooting a very high-angle shot on what I remember to be almost a 1.5-story ladder with a guy, a crew member holding up a light angled down. And Michael was fooling around in the car, and it was dark in this back parking lot, which used to be Gilligan's Island, which was now paved over at CBS Radford. So he got into the car for the very first time and was goofing around and having fun. And he drove really fast to, you know, show off or do something. He almost hit the ladder with the crew member on top. So he did not see him. And we were like, no. And he just missed it.
Oh, wow.
It was a terrifying moment. It easily would have been bad.
Yeah, that's not good.
That was like the, you know, the old days of shooting TV.
That's like the, maybe we should get a stunt driver for this.
Nowadays, yeah. But, you know, we're just flying by the seat of our pants going, what's, he's just got to go, hey, I'm enjoying all the lanes, whatever the hell we had him doing. But we didn't have that, that ladder illuminated properly, and it was a nighttime shoot. God, I still think about that and get a shiver.
OSHA, baby. We need to get OSHA involved in this. All right, read your ad. What do you got?
I got a few of them. Let's do this one. Public service announcement. Attention, all my bearded beasts. From stubble to mans. That's you, Matt Farah. If you didn't already know, Manscaped now sells beard products. You heard that correctly. The leaders in below-the-waist grooming changed the game with their Beard Hedger Pro Kit, and now they're going a step further with a brand new Handyman, an electric face shaver for a quick, convenient way to achieve clean shaven look, whether you're sharpening up your neckline. Do you shave your neckline? I always get confused with my stubble.
When I shave my whole head, I do.
But there seems to be a thing, like people go, I don't mind the stubble, but you got to shave your neckline.
Right,
they get upset about the neckline for some reason.
Yeah, because if it gets a little sloppy in here, you know.
Whether you're looking to sharpen your neckline or your face, smooth finish, the handyman has you covered. Go to manscaped.com. Use code SPIKE20 for 20% off and free shipping.
Love that, Manscaped.
It's time to go from 5 o'clock shaving to baby. It's good because we have a lot of beard people on the show.
Yeah, what are they going to do when they can't make puns about your balls anymore? Shave other parts of your body? What? We can't.
The Beard Hedger. Yeah. You want the Beard Hedger kit, you're going to get 20% off. Free shipping with code SPIKE20 at Manscaped. And I think that code works for everything. Manscaped.com, SPIKE20. I have a drawer full of this stuff. I love their
good
stuff.
Good stuff. Quality items.
I shave, as everyone knows, my dog's penis. Hairs at the end of the penis sometimes grow too long and distracting. We give him a little shave, and we know we won't nick his willy.
Does he give you a look of appreciation when you do it?
To him, it's just all dog. It's all fine with Gopher. Gopher's a fantastic dog. Look, I forgot, and forgive me, dear listener, to bring up the 911 ST. I know you drove a car, too, that I want to get into, but this... 911 ST was finally announced. This was a car that Spike's Car Radio had been on top of. I forget who tipped us off a year ago or even longer.
I think it was Breininger, wasn't it? Was it Andy?
No. He never leaks any information to us, ever. He denies. He won't even respond. This, you know, we have
listeners.
We have listeners and followers who sent us the entire release schedule of the cars for the next 7 years. And so far, this list is right on the money. The ST was supposed to be announced earlier, and then the same person said, it'll be August. Well, come August 1st, I start getting texts from journalists going, hey, guess what I just got pictures of? Mm-hmm. I'm embargoed. And here it is, this car. GT3 RS engine. It's exactly what we said it was. It's the new 911R.
Yeah.
518 horsepower, 4-liter engine, RS body of the 911 GT3 Touring. Oh, and it's a manual. So you get a manual gear rack. So it appears to fix the problems that we had with our GT3 Touring, in that that car felt like it was set up for the racetrack and it was called a Touring.
Yeah.
And this car looks like it's going to be as balanced and fun as the 911 Speedster.
Yeah, well, they haven't released details of the suspension setup yet.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be sprung? You know, they sort of actually set a precedent a little bit with the new Spider RS that I just drove, where it's actually sprung and damped softer than the GT4 RS because it's optimized for the street. So I think that they are going to make this one a little softer for the street. Now, will it be softer than the GT3 Touring?
No, they have to. That's definitely what this car is. If it's coming off the 911R, which you drove a 911R.
Yeah, a couple times.
Spectacular, right?
Yeah, the best.
The balance you feel, the sound, everything is just perfect. It's made for that perfect canyon drive where you're not really getting on it too hard.
Yeah, it's awesome.
New sound, lightest feeling. Isn't this the lightest 992 now?
But my question is, it will be softer than a GT3 RS for sure. The question is, will it be softer than a GT3 Touring?
So, no, the Touring was not soft.
I know.
And it will be softer
than that?
We believe it absolutely will. That we and this is based on nothing at all. But my little crew of idiots believes that they know they screwed up with a 911 Touring. This 992 Touring.
I think they probably do.
They know that car was too rough for people who wanted, really believed in the world
of
Touring. Who wanted a street car. And now this car is really going to deliver.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they're only going to be,
1,963.
The price is $300,000, so they're grabbing some of that money up front. The pictures are beautiful.
I actually think it's underpriced because they'll be flipping them for six.
Hopefully, I'll be flipping one for six. That's what I'll be doing. Thanks to my friends.
I think if it was close to four, they'd still sell it.
It must make you crazy because, like, it's got the S and the T of the TST.
I know. I'm so fucking done.
It's awesome. Like the SF90.
What do I have to
see with your lottery winnings? Would you get one? I would.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
If I won billions, I'd pay whoever.
100%.
Yeah.
If I with my lottery winnings, I'd buy a couple of cars that I drove in Germany this past. Past week.
Well, wait, we'll get to that. But incredible. Look at this angle here of this car right here.
It's a gorgeous looking car. It's got the front, it's got the nose of that side fender from the GT3 RS.
And this is a new color they made just for the car.
I don't love the white wheels. I never do love white wheels, but
I love this spec.
You like the white wheels?
I do.
Really?
I've never liked white wheels, but on this.
You in a car with white wheels.
I would get rid of the meatball.
Yeah,
but
that's no good.
It's a 6 and a 3, which adds up to
9,
which is our whole thing, is numbers that add up to 9. I mean, I would take the car just like that.
I like the color. I don't like the white wheels. I think if you did a gold wheel and got rid of the meatball on that color.
Gold.
White gold would be awesome. But it's like a gray.
Yeah, the white wheels aren't so great when you get wider. But
yeah,
we already have a plan for it.
But it's got a trunk, right? Unlike the GT3 RS.
It does.
This car?
A frunk.
Yeah, it uses the regular GT3 hood and radiators.
Right.
As opposed to the GT3 RS center pass-through radiator, which eliminates the trunk. That's the one thing about the GT3 RS that Andy Breininger told me people wanted. And I had lunch with Andy in Germany.
Oh, that's
on
nice.
The Spider RS. Mm-hmm. I like Andy a lot. I think he's a genius.
We love Andy.
There's nothing not
yes,
to like
of course.
About him. But I said to him.
But?
Well, I said to him at this lunch, I said, the GT3 RS. I go, who thought that people who want this car don't want a trunk? And he goes, it seems insane, but the people who bought the last GT3 RS,
mm-hmm.
we asked them what they wanted in the new one, and what they said was more hardcore. They wanted more hardcore. So, okay, we used the radiator setup from the RSR. We got rid of the trunk. Here you go. More hardcore, more downforce.
Lots of adjustments for the track.
That stuff too.
I don't mind that. That sounds right.
You don't mind no trunk?
Not at all. Not in that car.
Really?
Yeah, that's what that is. That's for that mood. Make it as nasty as you want it to be.
That's fine. To me, it seemed weird because it's a big car.
Yeah.
It seats two people.
Yes.
You can't use the space behind the seats because the buckets don't move forward.
Correct.
And so you've got nowhere to put anything.
That's right. I like that.
And cool.
But there's isn't there a part of you that likes a race car with a license plate and it should feel the most race car? I would even put shoulder harnesses in it.
There's a small part of me that does, but there's another part of me that appreciates that even at its most hardcore, most 911s can still be driven on the street pretty easily.
But that's the challenge of that car.
Sure.
You know, 8-Ball and other race cars that I've driven, it's always fun for me to try to figure out how I will travel with it. Whether it's a kid with a bag strapped to them or that's part of the fun
for
me.
But for a brand new car, I don't want to make that sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And that's just me. Other people, fine. Fucking whatever.
Whatever
you want to do. But that's just my taste. And so in this car, the ST, because it's a street car, not a race car, they went back to the GT3 radiator. It's not the pass-through radiator, so you get a trunk, which is, to me, that's good. It's got a trunk. Great. Yes.
And it sounds like they reworked the engine a little bit, right?
Yeah, they put the lighter flywheel in it. It's a 911 RT.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Which, actually, I mean, you've driven the GT3 in a manual,
yep,
which already has a really light flywheel.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how this is going to feel with an even lighter flywheel. It probably needs some kind of electronic anti-stall system.
Well, ours was PDK. We weren't.
Did you drive the stick though, the press car?
I did. Yeah,
it's really light.
But I felt that car was out of balance. I always felt I could, for the first time, I could feel myself slowing this car down with my shifting, mm-hmm. which I did not like.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what I hope is there's better balance now between the transmission and the engine of this car. And I bet there is. You're just gonna have these beautiful smooth shifts, and it's all gonna feel harmonious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's gonna be an awesome car, and I really like that cognac interior treatment.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Cognac is winning.
I got to show you this Turbo S we got downstairs, emerald green with a cognac interior with a Pasha.
What year?
Center, brand new.
Wow,
it's awesome.
Have you seen what Porsche Financial is doing with these lease numbers?
No, are they good or
horrible? It's out of control.
Out of control, good or bad?
Bad.
Okay.
Really bad. Really bad.
Is it
Someone told me that we're in the middle of the fives for a turbo per
I'm
month.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
5,000?
Yeah.
A month?
Above 5,000 a
Get
month.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, yeah.
For a turbo?
For a turbo.
Holy shit.
It's bad. Things are bad.
So bad.
Yeah. Dear listener, I know you feel bad for the Porsche folks leasing Porsches.
I can't believe someone's right to check.
That even the wealthiest among us are going crazy. WTF.
I need to raise my prices here. That's crazy.
It's a fascinating little world. It gets a little boring, but, you know, I've got my Defender is coming up, and I'm all over the place. So I'm talking to Dean Maroney, who's at Porsche at Santa Clarita, and he does, I think he works with Galpin, mm-hmm. everybody. So I talk to him every couple of days, and he's like, Land Rover lowering, Ford lowering, Porsche raising. It's everybody's, they all kind of react to each other.
Yeah.
And but in general, the lease prices are insane right now.
Yeah.
They don't make sense. No. It's starting to not make sense, you know, to actually do it.
I need to re-up my daily driver soon. We'll see.
Well, here's what's up in the air. I was sent a Defender spec that I liked. I was I'm going to jump into a Subaru Crosstrek with my friends at Subaru and hand that car off to the kid when he gets his license. But
good car for
it. Honestly, I want to drive it. So I'm probably going to get it early.
Yeah.
Then I was like, well, what about one of those Bronco Heritage deals? They said, okay, let's find one of those. All we can find is this one, and it's like $20,000 over sticker. And I said, yeah, but me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not paying over sticker.
Yeah, but I'm going to end up talking about this car every week.
Or just, hey, I know they're cool, but
yeah,
I'm not going to pay that much. Yeah. I might pay that for a special 911, but you're asking me special 911 overages.
For Bronco, the number is sticker. Thank you very much.
They said, well, who do you know at Ford? And the next morning I was invited to interview the CEO of Ford. So that may work itself out. Mm. That may work itself out. But a lot of folks are saying don't get that. I still don't understand why I can't. It seems like a lot of fun. And then, you know, Tesla Model 3 Performance is like a perfect thing for me.
You're still giving them away?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's, you know, if I'm just going to have something to put miles on and pick up kids in, I'd rather not pollute. I'd rather charge it at home and not pay for the dumb gas.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. So, I don't know what's going to happen.
But if you've had 3 years in a Defender, I bet you don't like the Bronco because it's just not as nice.
I know.
It's cool looking. It does what it does well. I understand why somebody would want one.
Yes.
But I've driven both the regular one and the Raptor. And to me, the Defender feels much more upscale than the difference in price would suggest.
Correct.
Yeah.
You were absolutely right about that. And what I'm looking for in this possible direction is fun.
Okay.
So you'd have to go, this is Spike, the electric bike off-roader, tennis, lacrosse equipment. The top comes off and never goes back on.
I could see you taking the doors off.
Yeah, and bopping around with the kids until it rains.
Sure.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Right?
That's cool. It's good for that.
And
it's
then totally, the Model Y if I need to go out to dinner.
When I had the Presser, I took the doors off for 4 days and it was awesome.
Right.
It was awesome.
Right. Yeah.
Now and it was easy to take them off and put them back on.
That's an idea. There's also a strike going on, and I'm not going to any meetings or anything, so I don't have to have the appearance of a professional. So perhaps I've lost my mind.
Yeah.
And I think everybody who's saying I will regret it is probably right.
Yeah.
What you won't regret is HelloFresh. You get farm fresh pre-portioned ingredients, seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store. Count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. I can tell you, Matt Farah, you know how you get these sponsorships and they ask you to sign up and you get a box of food? Somehow I pressed the button wrong, and last week I got 4 HelloFresh boxes.
Oh, boy.
They just kept arriving. 3 came on one day.
Mix
3 big
match,
boxes,
baby.
Lots of meat. And then the next day, another one came. So we gave one box to a family that we wanted to try it. My wife jumps right in, and every day since then has been cooking these amazing meals.
I love HelloFresh.
Last night, or 2 nights ago, we had this sausage spaghetti. It was incredible. Yeah. I came off the 3.5 hours of tennis. I was like ravenous. I ate a giant head of spaghetti. It was so good. Last night, she made flautas.
I'm sorry, what?
You know, some Mexican thing.
Flautas,
right? These are things that have never, in my 20-year marriage, have never been on my dinner table.
Right.
And I'm like, where did this come from? She goes, it's HelloFresh.
That's what I like about HelloFresh. They help you make things you wouldn't otherwise make.
And, look, I don't think she would mind me saying it. She was not the best cook. Things, we'd always go, you're cooking tonight? And then high voice, and then you just wait for the disaster. Now we're all excited. And that is a true, real endorsement. You guys, you got to check it out. If you're not, you want to cook and you don't know how to do it, everything's pre-portioned set up. It all comes to your door. It's really easy. Go to HelloFresh.com/spike 911-50 for 50% off.
They gave you a nice little code there, didn't they?
Yeah, it's like the 911 50th anniversary edition.
How about that?
HelloFresh.com/Spike91150 and use code Spike91150 for 50% off plus free shipping. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
America's number one meal kit endorsed by your friend Spike Ferriston. And I've gained a lot of weight.
You got to check the healthy recipes box.
I don't. I do the family of four meat eaters. Yeah. We're all carnivores, and it's excellent. All right. You were
in. Talk about Spider RS?
What do I do. Talk about? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You were in Germany.
Yeah.
You alluded to. And yeah. You drove another car of interest to all of us. The new Spider RS.
Yeah.
Where in Germany does this take place? Paint the picture for us.
We were south of Stuttgart in the Swabian Alps.
Oh.
Which is where
Hitler's retreat was. Is that right?
The Eagle's Nest? I think the Eagle's Nest.
What is the mountain? What's the mountain range there?
Probably. I don't know. Eagle's Nest is not, I don't think is there because it's in the real Alps. It's in like the.
Right.
I think it might have been in Austria.
Right.
I went to the Eagle's Nest and it was shady.
Yeah.
They really try and
it was shady back then too.
Yeah, yeah. They really try and emphasize that Hitler wasn't here all the time.
Right. just a little history there.
Yeah. When they put you on the bus and drive you up the hill real fast.
We also had the Connors from Florida there.
it was like 2 hours south of Stuttgart in some nice mountains, and it's where Andy and the Porsche engineers go drive their prototypes on the weekends.
Oh,
that's
fun.
That's where they go drive.
I think they said when they made the Taycan, they designed a battery that would last that drive, right?
Totally possible.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And we saw while we were down there driving these cars, like so many camouflaged Porsche mules.
Really?
Yeah, we saw the new seven-seater thing, electric.
Oh, you did?
They just launched. Yeah, camo.
Wow.
We saw multiple electric Cayennes. We saw the electric Macans.
Did you take pictures of any of this stuff?
No, because I was driving and they were like going the other way. And we saw a Taycan with a giant GT3 RS wing on it.
Really?
Yeah, there's 100% a Taycan GT coming.
Wow.
Yeah, it had huge, I couldn't believe the size of the wing on this thing. It was so crazy.
That's wild.
Yeah, and we saw the new 992.2 Cabriolet as well.
992.2 Cab.
Yeah.
With exterior changes.
It had body cladding on it, so you couldn't necessarily tell what had been changed, mm-hmm. but the rear bumper was a little different.
Was there that new electric around, that big new thing that they announced?
The seven-seater thing. Yeah, we saw that.
Not the seven-seater, the two-seater. The Mission X, is that what they were
doing? Oh, yeah, no, I didn't see anything. I've seen like the renderings, but we didn't see it on the, we didn't see one out testing.
Wow. That Taycan with a giant wing is, what are they doing right there?
I don't know. I'm sure it's a GT variant of the Taycan. I mean, that's
how do we know that's not the new electric 911 or some kind?
Well, it was a four-door vehicle.
Right.
I mean, it was a Taycan.
Like, but, you know, they make Frankenstein things.
It could have been. Yeah, it could have been a mule for something else.
Like, yeah,
it could have easily been a mule for some other powertrain. And we went into Porsche's, like, secret vault.
Yeah.
Where they keep shit that's, like, not in the museum.
Right.
And they had all these crazy mules from their whole history. They had the 996 mule, which was really funny because they put, like, 80s pontoon fenders and headlights on it. And it looked really, like, sad and wonky.
Wow.
They had one of the 997 mules had a 928 body on it.
Really?
The original Cayenne mule was a Mercedes ML class with a Cayenne underneath it.
What?
Yeah, yeah. They had all this crazy stuff in there.
Wow. Yeah, did they let you take pictures?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was rad.
Yeah. The 996 mule was like the saddest looking Porsche you've
ever
seen.
Like
it was really weird.
Yeah. Every once in a while, stuff like that used to trickle down to us. I remember Sam Cabiglio called me up and said, I've got a prototype 911 from 1976. What makes it interesting is it's completely unpainted, it's just the stainless steel.
But that's pretty cool.
Nobody wants it. This
imagine
is way
that,
back
imagine
when.
Imagine that.
I guess he goes, it's got a couple thousand miles on it, but because it doesn't have paint, nobody wants it. That's you could probably steal it for $7,000 or something. I was just like, nah, I don't want it.
$2 million.
I don't want it either. Yeah.
There's a prototype going to one of the big auctions this year.
Yeah.
It's the 2.3, RS.
Mm-hmm.
The RS, 2.7 RS.
Wow.
With a prototype color on it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be $1 million at least. So anyway, Spider RS is why we went there. It was pissing rain the first half of the day.
Right.
And then it got nice. So it's basically a GT4 RS Spider,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, in the same way a GT4 and a 718 Spider are kind of the same. But they're also kind of not. A GT4 and a 718 Spider like I have are the same,
mm-hmm.
other than the roof and the wing. The chassis is the same, the motors, everything is the same. To go from GT4 RS to Spider RS is not exactly the same. The shocks and springs are 50% softer. The aero balance is completely different. The front splitter is shorter. It has the ducktail wing, mm-hmm. not the big wing. The intake setup is completely different because that air box is not in the car. It's now right. underneath where the top goes.
So it's quieter.
It's not quieter because the intake is right next to your head.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still loud, but you don't have the resonance that the airbox makes in the GT4 RS at low RPM. At low right. RPM, there's a boom that if like 1800 or so to about 2500, once you get past that, it goes away. But if you're kind of puttering around the city, it has this drone that can be mm-hmm. a little bit unpleasant. Mm-hmm. The Spider doesn't do that. It's gone. Completely nice. Gone.
Yeah.
Instead, the overwhelming sensation is suction. Massive amounts of suction. Just fucking... just gulping air. And it makes like 9 different sounds out of the intake, you know, culminating in this valve train gnash wow. at the top.
Yeah.
It's the best sounding modern car
I've ever driven. It's not a manual gearbox?
PDK only.
It's all PDK only.
PDK only.
What yeah. is the 0 to 60 in it?
They say 3.2, but Car and Driver did 2.8 in the wow. GT4 RS, and there's no reason to think it's different. It's lighter.
Yeah.
It's 11 pounds lighter than the GT4 yeah. RS.
And is it limited? Are they going to number
it's
it?
It's limited by as many as they can make, but it's not like it's they're not only making 1,000. Like
right.
They'll build as many as they can for as long as whatever
so
the
that's like the GT4 RS.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. It is, with the exception of not having a manual, it is perfect. I mean, I can't wait to wow. drive one in Los Angeles
mm-hmm.
because in Germany, the tarmac is like flawless. So it was the most amazing driving car for that place mm-hmm. at that moment. You know, if I try to drive one from here to your house in Brentwood, like, would it beat me up a little bit? Like, yeah, probably. But it definitely isn't as stiff as a Touring. It's a little stiffer than my car.
And would you trade your car for this?
No, for a couple of reasons. One, my car is a stick. And my sports cars have to be stick.
Mm-hmm.
They do. I'm not driving them in traffic. I'm driving them for fun. And that, to me, that is fun, is stick. And also, just like the GT4 RS, this is a great car anywhere in the power band. It doesn't feel slow anywhere in the power band. But you're paying all this money for this motor.
Mm-hmm.
And the motor, it really is meant for 5 to 9,000 RPM. That's where it's great.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be going fast to
right.
do that. You
right.
you can't use that all the time. You even in first gear, you have to be going fast to get to the good shit. Whereas my car with the demand engine, it's a hot rod punched out motor, 4.5 liter. My car makes 150 pounds more torque, 2000 RPM lower. So my car, for a squirt of throttle from light to light, for a highway entrance ramp, or even for a canyon road, a tighter canyon road, my car feels way quicker on the pedal. This car would probably beat my car on a racetrack, and this car, when you're winding it out, is amazing. And if I wanted that experience, there's nothing wrong with it. But I think I don't have FOMO. I'm not going, oh shit, I should have waited and got
this
other thing. I'm happy with, and mm-hmm. you know how rare it is for me to just be happy with what I have? I'm so happy.
No, spiders are that way though. I've noticed if you have a spider, you're happy wherever you kind of jump
in. The spider
they're all
is
nice.
So great.
Yeah.
And also the roof on the RS is totally different from the roof on my spider.
Mm-hmm.
It's annoying. It takes twice.
It's harder? The roof, removing the top.
Much.
It's harder than the previous version.
Correct.
So they went in the other direction.
They will say that they did it to save weight,
right.
which is half true. They did it to save weight. Well, no. The result was that the top they used saves weight. That's not why they did it. They did it because the GT3 engine, which comes in the Spider RS, is taller than the other engine that was designed to go in this car from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's taller. Where does that room come from? The top storage area.
Mm.
So the top that's on my car won't fit. So they had to redesign a top that would fit. So it's this like, it's it's like a bimini top, like on a boat.
Right, right.
You have to literally unroll it.
Yes.
You have to so.
And then it had, you had to turn the edges
so,
in and
yeah,
pull
so
it
I'll try
tight
to describe what you do. You open the rear trunk.
Yep.
And it's under there. Okay. You physically take it out.
Yep.
It is not connected to the car at all.
Oh,
you
no.
You can wave it around.
Oh, really?
Completely separate.
There's no ribs
you
and
can,
no hinges.
No. You can leave it at home.
Okay.
You don't have to take it with you
That's
at
funny.
All.
Okay.
You save 8 kilos by leaving
what,
it at home.
What do you connect
you then,
first?
The first thing you connect is to the binnacle, the top of the windshield.
Yep.
There's a hook.
Okay.
And you rest it on there. When you attach it to the top of the thing, you can put it there and it will stay.
Yes.
Okay. You then reach inside the car and close the central latch, which is
out.
Above the rearview mirror. Okay.
Yes.
Then you go back outside the car and you unroll it because
yes.
it's rolled up.
Oh boy.
Over the roll hoops.
That could be fun.
It sits on the roll hoops.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there is a wire that comes down, a tension wire. You have to click under a hook on both sides and then pressure latch it down.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that part hard? That pressure
not
latch?
Hard.
That last one.
No, not hard.
So none of this is like you
none
have
of
to stretch
is,
and
no,
you're
no,
pulling
no.
and your fingers hurt.
None of it requires any
it's
physical
well engineered.
Effort. It is well engineered.
Okay.
Then once you close that tension wire thing,
yes.
then you take the two corners and, you know, the parts that come
yes.
come back, you take the two corners, you slide them into a latch, and then
that's
you latch
the part
them
that
down.
Was always hard.
It's but it's a different design from the one on
so
the Spider.
So it wasn't as hard, the pushing down. You didn't
I
feel
actually
like your skin
think
hurt.
That is better.
Better.
I actually
okay.
think that's better than the Spider.
That seems like a little
so
fun.
So it took me, I did it like 3 or 4 times.
Right.
The first time I did it, it took like 3 minutes. The second time, it was like 2 minutes. By like the fourth time, it was about 1:30, and I felt like that was about as fast as I could reasonably do it.
Right.
1:30 either way.
A car like that, I'd leave the top off, and then I'd throw a cover on it.
So that's to get the bimini top on.
Yeah.
The bimini
yeah.
top is not airtight.
Right.
So that's, you know, your side windows,
yeah, yeah.
and then the
I
back
get it.
Is totally
I get it.
Open.
Yeah.
Then there's a second auxiliary part that you can install before you latch those back things down that would make it watertight enough for a car wash. So, and
no,
now
no,
here, this is interesting. When you put the bimini top on, not the weatherproofing part, but
yeah.
the bimini top, it gets louder. It echoes the sound inside, and it's noticeably louder to drive it with that roof on than if you drive it with the roof
right,
off entirely.
Right, which is why
very interesting.
Which is why you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, Andy was very adamant about. This is an open top car.
Yeah.
The car,
obviously.
The top is here. So if it starts to rain, you
That's
throw it on.
Yes.
But this is an open, and they told us that they had multiple meetings and they considered selling it with no roof at all.
Right. That would have been cool.
But
I would have loved that
but
idea.
But you just, you know, one person washes it wrong and you just
but
fuck
that's
the
all they have to do
off.
Is get that information out and just say, look, this is a car you don't put the top up on.
Yeah.
We're gonna put one in there in case it rains and you'll learn how to do it. But otherwise, leave it in your garage
yeah.
as is.
That's
I do that with
idea.
The 82 Targa. It's the same thing. I don't like dealing
yeah.
with that top. So it's on
my cars spend most of their lives with the roof off and okay,
yeah.
it's fine.
Just don't leave it
and
outside.
And you know what? Honestly, dude, this car is so great in I mean, and, okay.
You said it was better that you were more excited about that than the 911 ST, which you haven't driven. Is that still the case?
I'm very excited for the 911 ST. But I just think that I love the Boxster platform so much. It's the right size.
Mm-hmm.
It's got two trunks. You can use it. It's so practical.
You're really big on trunks.
Well, because I like to go on road trips. I go on
I'm
vacations
joking,
with
joking.
My wife and, you know, we,
right.
we bring shit.
I know.
And, you know, and it's and for a car that's relatively small, it's got so much space inside.
Yeah.
It's laid out so well. The dash and the center console are so great. And it just fits on the road so nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's smaller.
It's just great. It's
yeah.
smaller, but it in a way that gives up no usable space.
Right.
It's just such a great platform.
It's
and
great.
Go watch the video. You can hear my video, which is up. You can hear what it sounds like, and it's fucking crazy.
On your YouTube channel.
On the YouTube.
So. We're gonna do it. But let's first talk about our official tire partner, the Spikes Car Radio official tire partner. Then we're going to do questions.
Okay.
But Vreta Stein, as you know, Erica got Quadtrac Pros on her Tesla to quiet the ride.
They did great. Does it work?
It does. Yeah, it reduced the noise.
What was on there before? Do you remember?
Completely sidewalk destroyed somethings.
Okay.
She had ruined them, so okay. She needed new tires. But I had them out on the turns in Sunset last night, and I was coming into a turn a little hot. There was no one on the road, and I was like, oh, I've got the new Vreta Steins on there. Don't have to worry. They grabbed like crazy. Jerry's got Sprint Classics on his VW.
Oh.
He put a couple pair on a couple of his old VWs. Johnny's got them on his Rivian.
Zuckerman. They're supposed to arrive here today for my Ford.
That's what I was getting to. My Series 2A has Grip Classics on it. And now you're getting tires on what?
My Mach-E, my Ford Mach-E.
And what did you put on them? What kind?
I told.
Probably Quadtrac Pros.
I told Roger, you know, for an EV, my goal is improved ride quality and reduced sound.
Right.
Coming from the Michelin Primacy, which I've actually been okay with. It's a decent tire for what it is, but I didn't want my range to be reduced. I didn't care about handling. It's not a factor in that car. It's a city car for me. But looking forward to see. They should be here today.
The little sidewall, the Quadtrac Pro, was designed by Giorgetto Giugiaro.
Yeah.
Legendary automotive designer, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know it. When I saw the tires, I went, those look kind of weird for tires. What is that? And I called Roger up, and he said, do you know who designed them?
Yes. Yeah, the
same
Giugiaro
guy.
Sidewall.
The same guy designs the BMW M1, the Tommaso Mangusta, DeLorean, Lotus Esprit, the Senko Speedmaster Ripley, the Senko a really cool design. Then I'm like, I love these things.
Those tires are really at home? If you put them on an 80s car, that sidewall looks great.
Well, they have tires for pretty much all of your tire needs. Check them out. They're big fans of Spikes Car Radio, and we're big fans of theirs. I have bunches of questions for us.
Okay.
Let's go through, and then we'll call it a show. How does that sound?
Sure.
Let me just get to my Instagram. I haven't checked these questions. You're checking your watch.
Because I have to go to PT in 30 minutes.
Oh, we won't even be 30 minutes. Okay. We're going to answer a couple.
Got to fix my knees.
Very common question from Steven Sutton. For Matt, what car do you regret getting rid of? Regret getting rid of. We all regret cars. But
I don't regret it because at the time – it made sense and was necessary. But the one car that I wish I was able to keep to this day would have been my Nissan Skyline GTR.
Oh, yeah. That was
R32.
Cool. That was a great car.
Yeah. At the time, this was in the great downsizing when I had to move out of that building across from Zuckerman's.
This happens.
And the guy sold the building. I had 2 months to get rid of these cars. And I got an offer that was almost triple what I paid for the car at the time. Seemed like a wise move. Mm-hmm. Still a wise move.
But that's the regret.
But I would love to have another Nissan Skyline, and I kind of just wish I still had the one I had.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it happens.
Yep.
I think I regret on any given day every single car that I've sold, including my diecast cars. I'm Van Nassi. Says, as a new automotive content creator, what advice would you give to succeed?
Oof. Have no shame.
What's that?
Have no shame.
Have no shame.
Whatever shame.
What does that mean?
Meaning you're going to have to do things that probably make you feel really stupid for money. And
just do
them. Just do them.
I think people are pretty good about accepting, you know, the ad reads and things. It's always good if you can find sponsors that you love, like that we have in our shows. That really helps. My only advice is if you don't need the money, don't take the sponsors you hate. They won't work out anyways, and people kind of see through it. Stay away from financial stuff, too, so you don't get sued.
Yeah. And you know, treat it like a real business. Have a business plan. You know, do financials. Do the right stuff from a corporate perspective. You know, treat it like a business, not a hobby, and it will treat you like a business.
Love the Twisties wants to know: do you guys ever wash your own cars? Yes, we do.
Yeah, I do.
I am now currently. I asked Jay for some of his Jay Leno's car wash stuff. I said, look, all I need, all I want. Is the windshield wiper spray. I've got the other stuff. a giant refrigerator box came of everything. And it was a party in the neighborhood. Everybody was like, just grabbing the stuff. But I've washed two cars already this week.
Yeah, I wash my own cars regularly.
I washed the Defender with my son James, and I washed Erica's Tesla. And they're, you know, we call them the horse bath wash is what we call it. They're down and dirty, but I use Jay's products, and it works out well. I've also started taking my dry vac. I bought a high horsepower dry vac and putting that tube on the other side.
Blower.
Blowing the water up.
We here at Westside, we dry cars with leaf blowers and our air compressor, and it's the best.
Because you don't get those water stains.
Yep.
Yep.
I get a very zen-like experience from washing my own cars. I love it.
Alex wants to know, car week. When are you guys showing up at the fire pits? Oh, yeah, Alex. We forgot to invite you.
Yeah.
We'd love to see you there. That's next week. That's coming up in a couple of days.
I'm going up on Wednesday. I'm going up early.
So that would be today.
When they're listening to the show. Yeah, I will be arriving in Monterey, and I got parties to attend, very fancy parties.
Yeah.
It's going fun. To the Quail.
You know, they put out a little email with how to dress, and it was all guys in crazy pants and jackets and fancy
rich people.
I
have some new shirts I'm very excited for.
What are you going to wear for our show?
Oh, I got a shirt. I got the shirt. You're gonna love my shirt. I got a shirt that I think you're gonna be super into.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I remember.
Shirt is great.
A Saturday shirt.
It's a Saturday shirt.
Yeah, I like the way you were dressed last year. I thought you were the best dressed up there.
And I can't wait. My Panama hat has been on the shelf. It's had it steamed. It's
yes.
good to go.
I don't know
you
what
get,
to do.
You gotta get
know.
A Panama hat.
I can't. I don't feel comfortable.
You don't think you can pull it off, but you can. I assure you.
I'm going to be behind a desk off to one. It's already probably going to feel
like a talk show
awkward.
Set, right?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. But I think everybody should just dress as themselves. So I might put a collared shirt on. Might put on, I think, some Roan Athletic gear that they send me. I don't know.
After
I'd like to dress like this in shorts and a t-shirt.
You
but
can.
It's fancy rich people. And
I'm not dressing. I'm dressing in a way that perverts their taste against them.
Yeah, I think you have it figured out. RYGuy2020 says, what's your worst, strangest experience at a dealership with a salesperson?
Oh, I actually have one.
Yes.
When I went to the local Chevy dealership here, when I was going to get my Volt, and I did end up buying a Volt. Nobody gives a shit about it, but it was the best car I've ever owned.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the
fantastic cars.
One of the finest cars ever built, and you would not talk me out of that. Okay? But when I went to the dealer, there's one on the showroom floor. And mm-hmm. I went to go, I said, "Can I turn it on and play with the menus and press the buttons?" And the guy went, "No, you can't start it. It's indoors." And I go, "It's electric." You can. And he goes, no, but the emissions will. And this guy didn't understand that, yes, you could indeed power this vehicle on indoors. And he told me when I had walked in the door and said I wanted to look at a Volt that he was the Volt specialist of this dealer and proceeded to know absolutely fucking nothing about the Volt, starting with the fact that it was fundamentally electric and could be powered on
That's
indoors
so good.
Without reducing
That's so, it's always and it's so depressing because you're so excited and you walk in. I remember doing that. We were stopped driving an Audi somewhere and shooting Car Matchmaker, and I walked in, let's go look at these colors, and I said, what do they call this color? And the guy said, I don't know. And I said, but you're the salesman.
Yeah
He goes, why don't you hold on here and let me The thing that popped into my head when I read this question was being in New York and going to a car dealer there, and I don't remember which one it was. And then very quickly, I wanted to ask about the cars. I forget the brand. And the salesman said, let me see your license. And he took it out back and then returned without it. And he said, let's start talking about this car. And
what?
Started getting paperwork ready. And I said, where's my license? He goes, we're just running a credit check and making sure everything's going to work out. I said, I haven't committed to buying the car. We're just going to hold on to that.
What?
Joined then by another. They started sweating me, these guys.
That's
and
crazy.
It ended in me standing going, give me my fucking license.
Yeah,
I'm getting
so
out of here.
Crazy.
You already blew it.
Yeah.
What do I look like?
That's crazy.
You know, and you're in full New Yorker mode, too.
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to
make a deal today or what? You know,
you're going to sweat me. Do I look like I just rode in on the pineapple truck?
wouldn't want to have to bring it back to you at home later, you know?
Yeah. That was the beginning of a long history of not liking most dealerships. I've learned there are a couple of good ones, and we use them, and we promote them here in the show. The rest of them, watch out. What automotive memory, Matt Farah, has stuck with you since you were a little kid?
Well, there's certainly a lot. There is when my dad traded in his Saab 900 Turbo for the first Lexus LS 400. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, a car enthusiast, when the Lexus LS 400 came out, and when I had one in the drive, it seemed like a spaceship. It was so much different from everything else from the 80s that I had experienced. So much more modern. Those beautiful gauges with the invisible needles, the smoothness, that really did. But on my 9th birthday, my dad brought me, we used to live in a house that was kind of on top of a hill and had a long driveway, almost a quarter of a mile, our driveway, down the hill to the street. So my dad bought me a go-kart when I was 9. And I had like my own hill climb.
Yes.
So we had this, the house, it wasn't like a crazy fancy house, but it was up at the top of this hill with this long driveway. And the whole front of the house was like almost like a football field of asphalt. Like it felt like it was a huge.
Fantastic.
So I had like a racetrack.
Yes.
You know, so I ran up and down. So the go-kart and everything.
You didn't end up under a snowplow tire.
Oh, I fucking wrecked it a couple of times. And the brakes weren't very good on the go-kart. Yeah, so I would go slow down the hill and then tear ass back up.
Hey, wait, I have a question for you. You're the perfect person to ask about this. Did you see the Wolf of Wall Street? Countach is going for sale. One of two, right? The one was smashed and destroyed.
Yeah.
Not even sure it was a real one, but the other one.
It was a real one.
The real one. The real one.
They killed,
Okay. And this other one's going up for sale. What do you think that's going to do? Do you think that's significant?
I do think it's significant. I think the market for a white-on-white 25th anniversary is probably, if it's a no provenance, regular car, nice, but not otherwise special, I think the market is 300 to 400. Martin Scorsese provenance.
And an epic scene with DiCaprio.
It's a pivotal scene.
Did DiCaprio drive that car? Do we know?
I don't think, maybe, but not that. That one is just the one that's parked in front of the
It's in the scene.
It's in the scene.
The scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was on screen used. My guess would be 650 to 900. Probably the best provenance. What do you say? 3 to 4 million. You think, is that the estimate?
No, that's what I think this is going to go for.
All right.
I think there's going to be a couple of knucklehead tech bros
who want it,
who love that movie as much as I do.
Sure.
And are going to go, it's totally worth it. It's such an iconic moment in cinema, right? When you think about these great, you know, the Bullet Mustang, of which there were lots of them. Mm-hmm. This one for me just stands out. Like it just becomes, I'm not even a big fan of that car, but that moment is so cinematically desirable and funny, and it's going to just live forever.
Yeah.
And it seems smarter and contemporary than even a Bullet. Like the Bullet even feels old at this point. This feels
Steve
like our
McQueen stuff is, it's weird, but.
But that's, you know. I don't know. I think it could be
big. Is the auction happening?
December.
Oh, it's in December.
Yeah,
it's not a Pebble Beach auction.
Oh, no,
so we
no.
won't be able to revisit it until then. You might be right. I mean, all you know, like any auction, all it takes is two idiots.
Two drunk billionaires, right. Of which we have plenty of idiot billionaires. How many would you like? We have many.
But as a Countach owner, it can only be good for me unless it somehow totally tanks.
Okay, now this guy, Jimmy, he's thinking like us. When I win the lotto, $1.5 billion, must be the jackpot. I'm going to buy cars. But I want to know what three cars you guys would buy for your collections quickly. That's a lot. Three cars. All right, let me start.
Yeah.
All right,
mm-hmm.
I already said Ferrari short wheelbase 250 is going to be one. Go ahead. You pick your first one.
Ferrari F50.
Ooh, Ferrari F50.
Yeah,
that's F50. Nice.
Yeah, that's.
I would then probably buy a 4-cam Speedster. Emphasis on color and where it came from and preservation.
Mm-hmm. I would then go with a. I would probably say, a roof Yellowbird, 1987 roof CTR Yellowbird.
Wow.
Just like Uncle Bruce's.
And just off the top of my head, I'd get a nice low mileage dialed in Carrera GT.
Yeah, Carrera GT fun. is a real good choice too.
Something that's hard usable. To drive. Kind of usable, but
Doug's been driving his a bunch.
Oh, who's that?
Doug DeMuro.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, cashed out of Cars and Bids same day. Carrera GT, wow. Boom, putting miles on it. Gotta respect it.
I wonder where the folks who cashed him out got that idea. I wonder where that idea came from. Someday we'll figure it out.
Car number four, but daily driver for Los Angeles. I would buy a 1989 AMG Hammer Coupe, 560 SEC, 6 liter Hammer wide body.
Yes.
For my LA daily driver.
Yes.
Yeah. That'd be
pretty
exceptional.
Good. Yeah. I mean, you could easily just fill a hangar full of cars.
Did you see there?
I think honestly, I would just buy the one car and just go, all right, that's enough. I'll drive this for a little while and have some fun in it.
Yeah. Until it needs service. And then you just sell it and buy the next one.
No, I think I could be happy in that car. And my promise to everyone would be, I'm going to drive this thing like a Datsun B210. Yeah. I'm going to leave it on the sidewalk. I'm going to let it get scratched up. I'm going to drive it, as Jay used to say, from 100 to zero and then restore it back to 100 again. That's I'm going to enjoy it and not worry about it. I'm going to hand the keys to the valet. Here you go.
Yeah.
Break any switch you want. Enjoy yourself because I'm a billionaire and I don't care.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all the time. Many people are asking, you know, you've done a fantastic job losing weight. What's your weight loss tip that you can give everyone? How much weight have you lost, by the way?
I don't know. I haven't been on a scale.
Okay, that's good. That's healthy.
Yeah. But
what do you do?
What do I do? I quit drinking.
Quit drinking alcohol. That's the best thing.
I didn't drink at all from March till the end of June.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had one or two drinks every 2 weeks since then because I did need to maintain my sanity a little bit.
Right.
I have eliminated.
So you didn't quit drinking. You cut down a lot on your drinking.
I stopped entirely for 3 months, and now yes. I'm.
You greatly reduced your caloric intake from alcohol.
Yeah, greatly reduced.
Yes.
Cut almost all carbs, and I changed the order in which I eat things. So I always have vegetables and protein before carbs. It's not a lot of changes actually. And I wake up at 6 a.m. and have 4 scrambled eggs every single morning,
amazing.
Clockwork. Before I have coffee, before I have anything.
That's perfect. There you go.
I try. It's hard, but I try.
We work out to stay fit. We cut calories to lose weight.
Yeah.
Two separate ideas,
ladies
and gentlemen. And that's our show, Spike's Weight Loss Radio. No, it's been a good show. This was fun.
Yeah. See you next Saturday.
Yeah, next week,
Pebble Beach Forums.
We'll be together on stage. We have a great show planned. Maybe it's going to be interesting. Who knows what's going to happen? I certainly don't.
Yeah.
But
I got.
What did you learn last year from that show? What should we do differently, do you think?
Because
it was, it always feels.
I thought it was fun.
It was fun.
I had a great time.
It's great to interact with the audience at the end. I love the meet and greet at the end, and we sign autographs. We have Spike stickers. We have posters, you know, the funny thing with all of us now. You know, remember how Johnny left you out of the illegal shot, and now you're in it? And
thanks.
So we'll be doing that stuff. But, you know, it's always weird to have a few hundred people there and you're podcasting, which is something you do kind of looking at each other's eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm used to performing and doing things to an audience like.
I like the audience. I've found that every time I've done a podcast in front of an audience, I feed off the energy of the audience well.
But we should just do our podcast together they should just be listening to it, right?
Yeah. But there's, you know, there's a show of hands, you know, some kind of interactivity is fine.
Simple.
We talked about where people had driven their cars from and what they drove. That was kind of fun. But.
Yeah, my favorite part last year was the lottery winner that we had bumped into, the guy that won the
money. Oh,
he was just buying cars like crazy.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was
the
fun.
Guy at 23 won Powerball, dude.
Yeah.
This guy had like 12 Pagani's.
That's what you do with your money. Buy 12 Pagani's.
Shout out to him. I hope I fucking see him at Quail again this year.
That's awesome.
Got 27 Pagani's.
I've got 80 Pagani's.
Imagine that, dude. It's one thing like for you or I, like you and I both, we work hard, but we live pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And to go from us to if we hit that Powerball, the toys will get more expensive. But for the most part, life goes on, you know.
Yeah,
but like
yeah.
this dude, 23, working at Target in Wisconsin.
That's awesome.
Fucking hits it. Changes his name, moves estates.
Yes.
Fucking designs. He's young. He designed his home in Minecraft.
Wow.
He built a huge house, which he designed in Minecraft, and then sent that to the architects. And they're building it in outside of Vegas on a mountain. And 15 pagodas.
Is he out of money yet?
Dude, he bought a ton of fucking crypto too. He did. He's doing everything
wrong.
Well, I don't know if he held it or whatever, but he was doing all right. He was doing.
Well, hopefully he'll be. What was the guy's name?
I don't want to say because.
What was his first name?
Manny.
Manny. Yeah. Right. Manny.
Yeah.
Do you talk to Manny?
Not a lot, but I am friends with one of his very good friends, and I get the updates.
Well, I would love to have Manny on. I'd love to take him apart. That would be really fun. I would like to know.
He seemed like he was really enjoying himself.
Manny, if someone knows Manny, tell him to call me up. Yeah. I want to start from the day before to the day after, and every call that you got and.
Dude is fucking killing it.
Somebody, you know, and this is a weird thing to confess on the air, but somebody, a piece of mail arrived at my house and it was addressed. It wasn't addressed to me. It was addressed to someone else in another part of the state.
Right.
I don't know how this thing came there and opened it up without thinking. And then went, looked at the name. This isn't me. And Googled the guy. I felt bad and Googled the guy. It was a letter. It was a hand-typed letter that I did not read. But, you know, mindlessly you open it up. Googled the guy. It goes net worth $80 billion.
Whoa.
Right?
$80
billion? Billion. This guy's a billionaire. Okay. Might have been eight. But it was eight, maybe a zero, billion dollars.
Yeah.
Then I went, I know what this letter is going to say. And sure enough. And it was three lines. My name is Nishin from Yonkers. I need $5 million right now to start my business.
Oh, my God.
You can send it here. Thank you very much. It didn't mention what the business was. It did not mention anything other than just you can send the check for my business, $5 million, right here to Yonkers. That's what Manny must be. That's probably why he changed his name.
Yeah.
I mean,
imagine the thought process of the guy writing the letter.
It's crazy.
I know what I'm going to do.
I'll just say I'm starting a business. Yeah. Send me a check, and he will.
It's crazy.
Anyway, yeah.
Hopefully, we get this. Maybe if I see him at the Quail, I will invite him to do our podcast.
Invite him to come up. Yeah. Yes, invite him to come up. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next week on Spike's Car Radio.
Thanks for listening to Spike's Car Radio, brought to you by Hangar 56. Listen to new episodes every Wednesday, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.